Support made possible by Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic's annual series of crop insurance and grain marketing meetings are currently underway across the Midwest. Go to www.sfarmmarketing.com. to register for a meeting near you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 14th day of January 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. Don Day will be here from Day Weather to take a look at the weather forecast. We'll hear about the agricultural energies from Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services, and I'll update you on all of the latest information as it relates to ag news, including the idea that USMCA could pass out of the Senate this week, that despite the impeachment trial that is impending. And we'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. March corn today down a half. It finished at $3.89. The May at $3.96, a quarter lower. July at $4.02 and a quarter down a half. And December down a half cent at $4.04 and a quarter. January beans at $9.28 and a half, three quarters lower. The March unchanged at $9.42 and a quarter. May at $9.55 and a half unchanged. And July $9.67 and a quarter unchanged as well. Next year's November at $9.69 and a half, down a quarter of a cent. The bean oil futures for the day at $33.65, up a dime. The bean meal are up a penny. The bean meal $1.80 higher, 80 cents higher at $2.97.20. Wheat futures July soft red up a nickel, 5.71 and 3/4. The hard red July up 4 at 5.12 and a quarter. Livestock futures finished the February 30 cents higher at $26.85. Feeders at $145.90 down 12.5 cents, and lean hogs at $67.67 and a half cents. They finished up $1.77 and a half cents. Now on the phone line to take a look at the numbers with us for this Tuesday afternoon is Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hey, good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
What happened in Chicago? I know we're kind of waiting for tomorrow's big announcements.
We're waiting for the announcement and to see what sort of details we can get. You know, we traded both sides in the beans today. We started a little easier last night. We were a little higher this morning, and through the day we drifted lower and come back to close to unchanged. As far as the corn, down just a little bit here today. But we did hear that the farmers had sold quite a bit of cash corn after the report on Friday, and some of the elevators are starting to turn loose some cash corn. All in all, everybody's sitting tight, waiting to see if we can get a pop out of this. I know there's a lot of advisory firms are saying they'd like to sell a pop into this right after this report with maybe a little buying coming in. But, you know, it's a big question mark. Will China buy right away or will they sit back a week or two?
What are the things that you've heard that you most excite you about the potential for tomorrow and the things that most concern you?
Well, I think that a lot of people are sort of talking that they are going to go ahead and easily make the $40 billion this year that way. And I think that they've thrown in some ideas of what it's going to be. And I think it's going to include some corn, some DDGs, some ethanol, some pork, some, you know, a wide variety of things. And I think that that's going to be very helpful to us. What's not helpful to us is the really good weather in South America and how we keep, increasing what they're doing down there. Brazil estimates finally got equal to and above ours on the for that. They went from, they went up from 120 to 123, and that's where the government was at and looking what they were going to produce there. So, and Argentina's punching up a little bit on theirs with the better weather they're having, too. So that's a little bit worrisome, but I think all in all, we're hoping for some good news tomorrow.
So will the trade take it with a grain of salt and simply wait, do you suppose, for those purchases to begin to come in so that they see the export sales or they see some indication that China is actually in the marketplace before they move things?
I think that it's going to depend on how much detail is given to us in the report when it's handed out or published afterwards. If it says there was a lot of talk that there would be quarterly quotas rather than just yearly quotas, because if not, why, I think that China would hold back. It's also a lot of talk that they would be made, the purchases would be made for more like the fall or the new crop corn and beans, because they've already bought so much from Brazil or South America for this coming up year. So I think that that would have a little difference in how things are looked at too. But if it is quarterly purchases, well, I think that we'll see something good happen sooner than later. If it isn't, well, then we might see them sit back. I do look for a little bit of pressure from the funds trying to sell this off on us.
Yeah, so you suggested that some of the organizations have been asking, telling farmers, go ahead and get ready to make some sales here. Is that for old or new crop, or for corn or soybeans, or all of the above?
I think that's across the board. If they could get a rally, they're wanting to do some stuff here that way. I know that there's a couple of advisory firms that are doing that. There's a couple of advisory firms that have had stops below the lows that were made right after the report on Friday to sell some more beans. And they did sell a few more beans today. So all of that, it's going to be a year, and we'll see what happens tomorrow and see what, and I don't know if we'll get an instant reaction unless there's something that says quarterly quotas are due and will be incorporated. Then I think they would hold off and sort of see what does happen.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
You know, it's been good weather in South America. We'd like to see a little bit of drought happening down there to get a little oomph in our market here.
Indeed. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Some of the other numbers as they're trading at this hour for the day. February crude oil about $58.34 a barrel, up 26 cents. Ethanol futures a penny and 9 cents lower to $1.43.3 per gallon. Heating oil or diesel fuel, penny and a half higher at $1.91.3. And gasoline just about unchanged at $1.65.5 a gallon. Natural gas at 218.5. That's 0.3 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands up 17 points at 28,888. The U.S. dollar at 97.095 is up 0.035 for the day. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,544.80 is up $3.60 for the day. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. In today's agricultural news, we'll start in Washington, D.C., where the U.S. House will vote this week along partisan lines to transmit impeachment charges to the Senate, setting up a trial likely to take the rest of the month, pushing final action on a key trade deal for agriculture into February. A Senate trial of the president could start this week, though even if the House acts quickly, it could take the Senate a few days to prepare for a trial, lending more time for remaining Senate panels to clear the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. The Senate Finance Committee approved USMCA by a lopsided 25-3 margin last week, but an impeachment trial may now delay final ratification until February, more than a month after the House approval. Ag state senators are frustrated. Finance Committee member Republican John Thune says low prices, disasters, and trade disputes have taken a toll on his producers.
This markup has been a long time coming for the farmers and ranchers of my home state of South Dakota and around the country who are struggling. When I talk to farmers or ranchers and ranchers at home in South Dakota, they continue to emphasize that the most important thing that Washington can do to boost our agricultural economy is to take action on trade agreements to expand markets.
U.S. dairy sector, poultry, eggs, pork, and wheat will all benefit from lower or no tariffs. Indiana Finance Committee member Todd Young added his praise and frustration.
It's taken a bit longer than many of us would have liked, and I hope in the future free trade agreements can be considered more expeditiously. But nonetheless, here we have this agreement, USMCA. And while not perfect, I know how critical USMCA is for the state of Indiana and for our entire country, for farm country, for manufacturers, and for businesses of all sizes.
One quick note here, USMCA is expected to pass the full Senate and then, of course, be signed into law by President Donald Trump. Impeachment could slow that process down, although there is some thought that the full Senate may be able to vote on USMCA this Thursday. Speaking of the president, he and Chinese Vice Premier Liu will sign the Phase 1 trade agreement with China tomorrow at the White House, with roughly 200 people invited to attend. However, some questions remain about the ability of China to increase expected purchases and if the agreement will stick. The American Farm Bureau Federation says the agreement will open the market, but not exclusively to the United States. That means the U.S. will have to compete with other exporters for the expected $40 to $50 billion increase in annual purchases by China. Meanwhile, a U.S. Chamber of Commerce official told media members Monday the Phase 1 agreement stops the bleeding, but does not end the trade war. Reuters points out that the United States has left in place tariffs on some $370 billion worth of Chinese imports. On one other note from the White House, President Donald Trump will again join the American Farm Bureau Federation for its annual meeting. The 101st AFB Annual Convention and Trade Show runs January 17th to the 22nd in Austin, Texas. Let's switch topics just a bit, but stay in the area of economics. Farmers bought more tractors last year compared to 2018, but combine sales remained flat. A new report from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers says for 2019, sales of two-wheel drive 100-plus horsepower tractors were up 4%. Four-wheel drive tractor sales were up 6% in 2019. Meanwhile, combine sales for the year totaled 4,807 compared to 4,839 in 2018. And finally today, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's ag director has resigned after acknowledging he received but did not act on a lobbyist email 7 years ago, which referenced an alleged rape cover-up and illegal hiring practices. The email was originally obtained by Chicago Public Radio station WBEZ. John Sullivan said in a statement Monday he did not read the email thoroughly at the time, but said, quote, "I accept responsibility for what was truly an unintentional oversight and the subsequent inaction," end quote. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Visit our website at willag.org and play most all of our agricultural programming in its entirety right off the website. If you'd like, the address there, willag.org. Or if you prefer to use one of your favorite podcast applications, you can do that too. Places like the Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, SoundCloud, Stitcher, NPR One, even Spotify. Now up next, we'll hear the weather forecast from Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, what do we have coming up for the rest of the week?
As we get to the end of this week and as we head into the weekend and next week, winter weather is going to return to the Midwest and the Corn Belt. In fact, it really looks like this weekend and next week we'll see some of the most active winter weather the central and eastern parts of the nation has seen in quite a while. It all starts with a small system coming in Thursday night and Friday, and then a stronger storm system bringing rain, snow over the weekend, late Friday into Saturday and Sunday across a lot of the Midwest, the Corn Belt, the Upper Plains, and moving into New England. There's going to be a pretty good slug of very cold Canadian air coming in behind the system for late in the weekend and early next week. In fact, temperatures are going to go well below normal over the entire Corn Belt and Great Lakes region and Upper Plains as we get into the first half of next week. Some real bona fide cold winter weather finally moving into the nation's midsection, and it looks like for the rest of January into the first week of February, we should expect more winter weather in the Midwest. More snow chances and temperatures overall that are going to be a lot colder than we experienced in December and earlier this month. Now, going into the southern hemisphere, there's good news for Australia. In fact, it looks like over the next 10 days, there's going to be some rain over New South Wales and over the eastern half of Australia. In fact, there's some real opportunities to pick up some decent rainfall with a series of low pressure systems moving across southern and eastern Australia later this week and into next week. South America, well, they're looking at a pattern that's not been as extreme over the pond into Australia. We've had some rain across central and northern and western areas of Argentina, central and northern and eastern areas of Brazil. We're expecting that overall, what has been a cooler pattern over some of the key growing areas of especially Argentina will warm up a little bit, but overall growing conditions Precipitation chances and temperature trends look generally favorable over the key growing areas of South America over the next week or two.
Hey, thanks, Don. Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now joining us to take a look at the agricultural energy sector is Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for being with us. And by the way, thanks for coming to the DeKalb Illinois Farm Economic Summits in December. I think that's the last time we talked. It was a good show and good to see you there.
Oh, it was a great meeting. Lots of great information, and the participation I thought was really spectacular. So I'll try to make the next one.
Well, indeed. Hey, and those who have not caught up with those meetings or didn't get a chance to go can go online. They'll be going up at the FarmDoc Daily or FarmDoc website, one of the two, in the next couple of weeks. Just 5-minute reviews of each of the ag economist thoughts for that Illinois Farm Economic Summit. Now, I want to get to your thoughts, as we do about once a month, about the agricultural energy sector. A whole lot has happened since I last talked to you. Iran. Some discussions there, some problems there, of course. And then OPEC, I'm not sure that they're going to try to hold to the number of barrels they said that they were going to produce. Where do you want to start today?
Well, certainly the market has been unsettled by a variety of influences over the past few weeks. The elevated tension between the U.S. and Iran had initially supported values, sending them up toward the $66 area on WTI. The gains were, however, short-lived, and values have now traded back down to below $59 as tension eased and talk that neither party wanted a ramping up of hostilities. The OPEC situation is still somewhat nebulous on where they'll stand with respect to providing additional supplies, and it's not real clear on whether they really need to. I think the market is now refocusing on the underlying supply-demand situation. The EIA, in their most recent report that was released today, and you all can look at on the internet under EIA.gov, basically indicated global oil markets were balanced in 2019 despite OPEC's attempt to tighten them up. In 2020, global oil supplies will rise by as much as 1.6 million barrels, while consumption is expected to expand by 1.3, implying that we'll have a surplus once again of close to 0.3 million barrels. Supply growth will be led by the U.S., Norway, Brazil, and Canada, all members outside of OPEC. And it's interesting to note, OPEC keeps trying to cut their production at a time when these members are improving their market share. I think in 2021, they're looking at the oil supply growth is expected to slow. That's something to watch, as investment in some of the oil, tight oil shale areas is going to be reduced by limited credit and also lower rig counts. But we're still looking at growth in those areas. I think the U.S.-China trade deal certainly is a big factor to watch. It's gotten some attention today with the signing taking place tomorrow. It does have in it some purchases of energy, both crude and products from the U.S. But the idea is that China's economy is not going to benefit much from the trade deal. Certainly there is talk by the Chinese petroleum company
that their growth in demand could actually fall and fall sharply this coming year as the lingering effects of the trade deal hit their economy. They're talking that growth rates might be on the order of 2.5% compared to 5.2% in 2019. The decline is going to have to be watched and would be the slowest rate we've seen since 2008. So there is some real concern still on the demand side, despite the trade deal, that one really needs to watch in the weeks ahead. I think another factor that we'll have to be watching is tomorrow's DOE report. We had some surprising numbers on the gasoline. That comes out tomorrow. They're looking for crude to be down 0.8 million barrels, distillate to be up 0.7, and gasoline to be up 4 after being up some of its highest levels last week on the gasoline. We're looking at rather sluggish demand for gasoline in the U.S., which is weighing on margins and could actually pressure refinery runs. Another factor is certainly export levels out of the U.S. They've reached record high levels here in the end of December. That is a function of better infrastructure, pipelines and the such that is leading to growing exports from the U.S. to other areas, which erodes OPEC's market share even further and really has them really having to really face a mounting problem in terms of their erosion in market share at the expense of other producers who are not party to the agreement.
How closely will you be watching the text of the agreement tomorrow? You mentioned that the Chinese energy companies were concerned that they might not have the growth that they want. I know that the agricultural sector there in the last couple of days, and I'm surprised that this has happened this week, in fact, have also been voicing similar concerns. Might it be that something the Chinese have said all along, that they will purchase some $200 billion worth of energy, ag, and all other products if they're competitive on the world market, mean that if we can produce them cheaper here or buy them cheaper someplace else, that's what we'll do?
Well, I think the agreement as it now stands, they'll go into it, see how things roll as we move through the year. Certainly, I know even at your conference, you brought up the fact that agricultural exports might not be as great. They might front load everything for next year's new crop into those numbers. So we'll have to look at the down and dirty numbers themselves to see how they're impacting the, I guess, global supply demand, not only in agriculture, but also on the energy side as well.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
My pleasure, and thanks again for a great conference.
Well, hey, thank you. That, of course, is Stephen Platt. He is with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. There you can find our calendar of events, listen to our agricultural programmings, find out what the Illinois Farm Economic Summits are all about, look in on what the ag economists from the U of I have been doing, and even from time to time catch up on my Twitter account and, well, view the USDA reports as well. It's all about the service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media, willag.org, Illinois Extension. You have a great and safe afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.